I am truly glad to be here. If you can stand through the message, or you can sit through the message, you can jump through the message, you can run, whatever you want to do. But you know, when you have a difficulty at the airport, there's so many things I could share this morning to, I guess he gave us an hour apiece. Where'd he go? But I was sitting at the airport, and flight canceled. This plane from Denver can't get to Bakersfield. I sat there for 8 hours, and I thought, why am I sitting here? My wife's texting me, just come home. Let me come get you. And the Lord just kept impressing on me, nevertheless. Nevertheless. And I thought, you know what? I text Brother Jesse, and I said, all things, brother, all things. For some reason, I needed that. I just completely unwound from the stresses of life and just had some time with the Lord. I'm not a sitter, but I sat for 8 hours in the airport, and I was just like, man, this is amazing. And we never know what the Lord has in store for us, but if we don't resist what God's doing and just allow things to happen, I was able to witness to a guy that was sitting there, and I thought, Lord, if it's just this, that's enough. That's enough. But I always have to get my cry out. And I hope you all appreciate the anointing. And your pastors. Man. I'm not worshiping the man of God, but I'm certainly worshiping the God in the man. Amen. It's an amazing thing when you can distinguish between the two. But I just want to share a little bit this morning, because I feel like it is time for the body of Christ to wake up. And we've all had times in our life where we might feel like we've been a little bit asleep to the things of God, to what God's wanting to do in our life. And there are a lot of ways that we can awaken. How many have kids that like to stay in bed? And you're trying to figure out, how am I going to get them up? How am I going to get them awake? How am I going to get them going? You know, I think the Lord thinks that sometimes of us. When are they going to wake up? When are they going to get up? When are they going to go and do what I've commanded them to do? So just a little drive-by here this morning. If you could just turn to Psalm 102. I have a verse to read here to kind of kick us off. But as we do and as we love, we're going to go into some of the Pauline epistles and look at really the instruction for today. But in Psalm 102, verse 13, it says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, and for the time of to favor her, yea, the rest, the set time, is come." And you know, I believe that the coming of the Lord is near. I just believe that. I've always been taught that. And it's something that I really hold dear in my heart. But like Pastor said, now it's not get ready, it's be ready. We just have a sense of readiness about us when you're serving God and when you believe that Jesus is coming for his bride. When you believe that he is the bridegroom, that he's the majestic one, and he is longing for us as much as we long for him. But the time in life, I believe that we're not to know the actual hour. We know the seasons. We know the things that are happening around us, that it's a time that we need to press in and get closer. But it really is a time that we need to wake up to so many things. And so I want you to turn over to Romans 13, because the Bible tells us not that it's only time, but it's high time. It's high time. There's a time that has just kind of crescendoed, and we sense that time today, don't we? If we know that Jesus is coming, we know that there's something happening in the world, but what needs to happen is something in us. That's right. It needs to happen in me. And I never want to take the grace of God for granted. Because there are people that use the grace of God and abuse the grace of God and have it for all kinds of things like a toy or something that they can just play around with. This is serious. When God reveals this grace to you, there's a light that comes on spiritually. It's not something I was taught all my life, raised up, cut my teeth on the grace of God. But when the Lord revealed it to me, that was the change. And I woke up to something that was completely different. We can teach all day long, but God has to instruct us through the Holy Ghost. So Paul knew something, and it really was born out of love. It was born out of the love that he had not only for the saints of God, but it was born out of the love he had for Jesus Christ. And do you love him this morning? Don't you love what God is doing? Don't you love, even though things might be going on in life, we just keep loving Jesus. And he brings us through. Pastor was talking about situations. I could stand here. We used to hear him say they could stand all night and testify. Well, sometimes they did. But I feel like that in my life now. I could stand here before you and testify all night about what God has done in me. And it's all because of grace and purpose. Because the grace train has attached now to purpose. And so we're moving along with the Lord. Because of grace and purpose. But Paul said, we have to know the time, knowing the time, Romans 13:11, knowing the time that now is, it is high time. If I had a title this morning, it would be, it is time. It is time. All of you have something in your life, you're like, well, I just don't have time for that. I don't have time. This is something we make time for. We make time for loving the Lord. We make time for studying. We make time for prayer. We make time, but we don't always know the time. We don't always see that. But Paul said, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. There's a sleep that has come over the body of Christ. My grandpa used to call it spiritual chloroform. People are walking around to save funeral expenses. And there's a sleep in the body today. But, you know, I just want to kind of share three ways of waking up. I was going to do an alarm, and I asked little sister, I can't remember her name, if there was an app on a phone. Do you have an app that we could do an alarm? And then I was praying this morning, and the Lord said, please don't do that. It would be too alarming. I mean, I didn't want to, I was going to set an alarm and play it, but I didn't want people hitting the ground. In California, we hear shots fired and people hit the ground. It's not a good thing. So there are different ways that we can wake up. One way is something that's alarming. Something that's alarming. We've heard people pray, you know, Lord, bring him to you no matter what it costs. Please don't pray that. Because I've seen people end up as a paraplegic after someone has prayed that. We want God to wake us up, but even 9/11, we thought 9/11 would wake us up. You know, within 6 weeks, people were back to the same habits they had before, and everyone was carrying on with life. And yeah, well, it happened. And now the media has us so numb in watching reports on TV that it's just incredible. What's it going to take to wake us up? Well, the Lord wants us to rise. The fires and earthquakes in California didn't seem to wake people up, to draw closer to the Lord, to draw closer to his love. It didn't seem to do anything. We had a woman at the hospital I'm currently working in that came in the front door, went straight up the stairs to third floor, got in the third floor, and there's a spot where it's a high banister, pushed a chair, and jumped right off into the lobby, broke her neck, and died. And everyone was stunned. I walked up on it, and it was an incredible thing. And I thought, Lord, what is happening? And so we began to pray with people. We began to coach people and have kind of some sessions with debriefing. But I thought, even that, the next day, people are going, yeah, that happened. Did it do anything to you? Did it wake you up? Did it make you realize that we need life? We don't want to see lives taken. But when Paul said that, it's interesting because one time my wife went to Europe with her mother, and I was home with the kids. And I was trying to figure out, how am I going to get these kids up out of bed for school? And so my son had this little Star Wars recording thing, and I made a recording. And I just said, wake up, get out of bed, get dressed, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, and go to school. And then I had an alarm that went off, and I set it outside their door every day. It worked. They were up, and they were out, you know, ready for school. But taking it a whole nother level, what is it really going to take for God's people to wake up? And we can talk all day long about being in the bride, where it just becomes rhetoric. I don't want that in my life. I want my heart to be ready. I want my heart to be awake, to stand up to the things of God. There's a lot of controversy in the body of Christ today. We are challenged today, especially in California. There's just all kinds of doctrines that are popping up and people coming up with things, and you're like, are we reading the same Bible? This is just incredible. What's it going to take to wake you? It's a sleep that comes over us. And Paul called it something out of sleep. So if alarming things don't wake you up, maybe something else that would shake you. Ever been shaken? Wake up! When I had my third stroke, they started shaking me because I was kind of going out and, you know, drifting. And I remember them shaking. And I was like, why are they shaking me like that? They wanted me to wake up. Has God ever shaken you to the fact that you need to wake up? Some things shake us. The Bible tells us not to be soon shaken. Where? In our mind. In our mind. Don't be soon shaken in mind. Do you know that today we have so many mental health issues? We have so many things. The pharmaceutical companies are prescribing psychotropic drugs. It's just in the billions of dollars. Yet we can't come up with a new antibiotic. But we're not to be soon shaken in mind. Some of these things, I could have been shaken on Friday sitting at that airport. But like brother said yesterday, it was the peace. I have a contract with the Lord. I have an agreement with him. And I've given up my right to understand things in the natural that really don't matter anyway. So that the peace of God that passes understanding, it kind of not just bypasses, it surpasses understanding in the natural realm. So I just give everything to the Lord and say, Lord, it's yours. Don't be soon shaken in mind. How many things have affected our minds? Family issues, family dynamics that, you know, we have kids that are just brats and stupid and doing stuff. And we're like, what in the world is that? So we could get soon shaken in our mind. And it can do a real number in your brain. And we let the peace of God that passes understanding. The best way I think we can wake up is to have that internal alarm. Do you have it? Do you have that wake up? My parents used to say, well, I got a check from the Holy Ghost. And I used to go, well, how much was it? He didn't mean money. He's talking about check. Like, don't do that. A check. Do you have that? An internal alarm. Now, we were talking about it this morning. I have an internal alarm at 5 a.m. Thank you, Fred Sadbury. My dad taught us to get up. 5 a.m., no matter where I am, the time zone, what time I've gone to bed, internal alarm, 5 a.m. You know, I want that spiritually, to be able to say, Lord, at any hour or any given time, I want you to wake me up. Let's wake up to the fact. But the timekeeper is really God's word. You know, you can wake up at 2 a.m., and the Lord does this a lot. And I'm like, really, Lord? This, you know, I will be up at 5, and it's 2, so you do the math. But you begin to pray. There are times when the Lord wakes you up and that internal alarm goes off. And I stopped complaining. I just started praying. And the Lord will bring people to you, and you begin to pray, and all of a sudden you go back to sleep. But I want this thing to be an internal alarm. Not by something alarming, but by knowing. By knowing. Do you know the Word of God today is sharp? It's powerful. The Word of God is alive. And that same Word is in me. So I should be sharp. I should be powerful. I should be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I awake to righteousness today, some people are asleep to righteousness because it's all self. This righteousness isn't of me. It's Christ in me. So when I awake to righteousness, I'm just gaining more of what God is in Christ, in me. And then I begin to see these things. When I look at what God has done, you know, we can talk about natural things and healings and all kinds of issues that we've had that God has resolved, and he really has done a work. Amen. Has God ever done anything for you? And we look at all those things, but if you could put all those things aside, everything in the natural that God has done, and I feel like I've had the most healings and restoration and all kinds of stuff. Shouldn't even be here today. But beside that, think about what God has done for us spiritually. What he gave. He gave his son. And his son gave his life. And now I accepted that and I have life. But my life is eternal. Because Jesus is eternal. My dad used to always love to preach to the legalists. And he'd say, now we don't have spasmodic life. Jesus isn't some jumping jack that bounces in and out. He believed in eternal life. And that's what we have because Jesus is that life. So when we awake to righteousness, it makes us wake up to a lot of things that God has done for us. When we awake to righteousness, we're awaking to the fact that Jesus has done the work. And when he said it is finished, that's exactly what he meant. So that when he finished the work, now I choose to allow it to start in me. To start. We're all at different phases. We're all at different stages in our walk with God. But let it start somewhere. I don't know how many people have come to me and said, Pastor, I just don't know where to start reading the Bible. And so we give them study lessons. We give them helps. And the main thing is that you start. That you start what God has finished. Because if I thought, well, God's finished the work, I don't really have to do anything, that's wrong teaching. Because what he finished is just starting in me. And I want him to finish that work. I want to say that I have finished my course. I want to say that I have run this race to win Christ. I want to say that I long for him and he longs for me. When we do that, we come alive and we begin to long for Jesus. Now, what happens back in verse 11, we have to look at the now. Because Paul said, if we know the time, then we have to understand now is the time. It's kind of like Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. It's not the faith of yesterday. It's not the faith of tomorrow. It's the faith of now. So if you need something today from the Lord, it's that now faith that God has to begin to work in us. And it's that now high time. There's something to be said about the timing of God. God's timing is always perfect. The results may seem imperfect to us, how it's played out in our life, but trust me, as you trust the Word of God, God's timing is always perfect. And people say, but Brother Roger, this happened in my life, and that happened in my life, and it was for a reason. All things. I texted Pastor Jesse that on Friday. All things, brother, all things. No, I didn't get here, but I didn't panic either. All things. What's the purpose? Some things in life we'll never know. And I don't think we need to know everything, but we're just a bunch of nosy people. I am anyway. I want to know everything, and I can listen to 3 conversations at once. So don't start talking smack about me, because I'll hear you. But I think we need to know the now. Look at all the nows in the scripture. There's a lot of things. Look at the suddenlies in the scripture. Look at the immediatelies in the scripture. Those things that God wants to do in us now. And we're waiting for something, and we're waiting for, you know, something to happen. Let it happen when? Now. Now is the time. And we've got to know that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Why? The reason is because our salvation is nearer than when we believe. So the day you accepted the Lord was the day you accepted the Lord, right? And Mother Austin probably did that long time ago. But the day we accepted him was the day we were born again. There's a lot of controversy in that. Well, they didn't really accept the Lord because, you know, they walked out of fellowship and they did all this. No, the day you accepted the Lord was the day you accepted the Lord. Case closed. What happened after that is all you. That's on you. That's not on God. So we have to understand now it's time, and that salvation is closer today than the day you believe. How many of you have heard the story that, well, I've heard the coming of the Lord all my life. You know, grandpa preached it. His grandpa preached it. I've heard it all my life. Anybody? I have. But I believe the word of God says it's closer today than the day I believed. And so if I believe that, I need to wake up. I need to wake up. It is time, saints. It is time to wake up and say, Lord, I don't need anything alarming except for you, your alarm of your word to go off in my heart. I don't need to be shaken because, you know, that might mix up my brain. But I want this internal work. I want something to happen inside, because that's where the new creation lives, is in us. We look a lot at the outward appearance. We look a lot and judge a lot about the outward. Come on. But God looks at the heart, doesn't he? I remember when I kind of stopped doing the one over. You know, you look at people, you go up and down. You're like, mm-mm, that's not going to happen. And then we had the homeliest woman in our church that you thought, is she just delayed? What is wrong with this woman? She would get up and play the piano. And it was the best lesson as a kid to see the heart of people. Amen. And we don't always do that. But I think it's time, don't you? That we begin to see people in the love of God, through the love of God. I can even love my mother-in-law. She's not real hard to love. But you know what? God gives us that kind of love. He gives us that kind of adoration. But I think today is the day that we need to say, Lord, you truly, instead of it just being something that comes out of our mouth, it needs to come from our heart. You truly could come today. Am I awake to that fact? Have I rallied around enough and gotten my heart right with the Lord? Sister Astle and Brother Astle used to come up to Bakersfield for fellowship meetings, and she would talk about the bride and your garment that is spotless. And, you know, I knew I had sat in a lot of stuff that week. It wasn't that clean. It wasn't that unwrinkled. And I remember feeling like a heathen, you know, and then I thought, well, why can't I have that? Why can't I walk like that? Well, then God began to work in my life. It's called deliverance. Amen. It's called being set free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So if you're not set free, you don't really know the Son the way you need to know the Son, and you don't know that it's high time to wake up out of that sleepy stage of your life. Because we have to understand that the day is closer today than the day we accepted Jesus Christ. But it's kind of like that saying of how you spend your dash. You know, born in 1955, died in 2019. There's a dash in between there. And that's really what we need to focus on. How are you spending that dash today? Are we really longing? Are we really seeking the things of God? When you seek him, you'll find him. It's not a big secret. It is a mystery, but it's not a secret. If you seek him today, you'll find him. But I just want to turn over to 1 Peter 5:6, because This is another real secret to humble ourselves. We've heard about humbling today, haven't we? Yesterday, humbling ourselves. How do you humble yourself? Well, you know, really, you get right with God. And there are people sitting here today, you might be out of fellowship with God, and you might think, well, I'm fine. And if you ask people how they are, I'm fine. Really? I had an elder say that to me one time, and I said, how are you? And they said, I'm fine. And I said, liar. But it's easier to say I'm fine than say, you know what, I need help. I need prayer. I need God to truly deliver me and wake me up to the fact that I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. Do you realize that spotless, no wrinkles, white robe is a cost? Now, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you. There's something that happens when we begin to walk with God and our friends, quote, walk away. That's a true cost. But then when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we realize we haven't given up anything. We haven't given anything. But here it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Do you realize our hands, our lives are under the mighty hand of God? And we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that will come in for you when you really don't deserve it. He'll come in for you and just, I mean, he can be a 911 God. He can be a God that receives you back. Sister Clark was talking about my grandpa that started the church in Bakersfield. And I'm finding out all these people that he touched their lives. And they were out in California for service. And just great things that God has done. You know, as we look back over the years, I was going to tell you a story. I'll tell you after. Probably wouldn't be good for up here. But if we look back through the years, how God has brought us. It's a humbling experience. And we humble ourselves. I mean, it's time to choose some carpet, saints. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Do you know, it just makes me melt. I feel the anointing so strong. And it just makes me melt in a humble atmosphere. Under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because he is going to exalt us. When? In due time. In due time. And you know, there's a little clause here, casting all our care upon him because he cares for you. If you're cumbered about with care this morning, it's time to give that to the Lord. It's time. Whatever it is, it can be, you know, the smallest thing. We think God's looking under boulders for things in our life. He's looking under pebbles for things to do for us today. Those very small things. Those little foxes that have come in and just kind of spoiled the vine. It's a time of humbling. I believe it is time that we seek God like we've never sought him before. It's time that we reach out to him. Because the exalting in us is the reward that we're building today. I think I was taught the best about rewards because in ministry and under my dad's ministry, we used to do stuff and we'd come to dad and we're so proud. Look, we did this and we did that. And look, we got this accomplished and we had all this happen. And he goes, and you just got your reward. What does that mean? Because it was I, instead of saying, Lord, we give it to you. We give it to you. Our reward, our inheritance is in heaven. You can have it down here if you need the accolades. I mean, that's up to you. There are so many things that I do that I never say, but I know the Lord knows. And that's okay. That should be okay because he's going to exalt us in due time. But don't you believe it's time this morning? It's high time that we wake up to whatever's gone dormant in our life, whatever's gone to sleep in our life. Don't pray that God do some kind of alarming event in your life. Don't pray that God shake you like a Quaker. Don't pray anything except, God, work in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. It's the good pleasure of God to work in us today. He's longing for us. You can even get excited. Amen? Come on. You can even get excited about what God is doing. There's something so real about the power of God. And when we see that power moving in our lives, I think I have another hour and a half. Is that right? I'm just kidding. When we see that power moving in our life, it makes you long for more of the power of God. When you see the hand of God healing, restoring, giving you the ability to do what the enemy's trying to take from you, and then God restores it 100-fold. I've told you the stories about my testimony of being down, and I was in physical therapy and speech therapy for 6 months, and just, it was horrible. It was horrible. My little wife praying, petitioned the Lord day and night. You know, I was in the pulpit a week after the worst stroke I had. Had to be helped up on the platform. Something happened when I opened the Word of God and I began to preach. I had anomia, I had aphasia, I had all kinds of stuff going on in my life. But this is showing you the dividing line between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And we dwell way too much in the natural. We need to take a step over into the spiritual realm. And I would just preach like today. They would help me off the platform, and I would sit down and just be a blithering idiot. And I'd go to speech therapy, and I was teaching the book of Ruth, and I was building a syllabus for every week, and I gave it to her, and she said, how did you do this? I said, well, I didn't. And I never have. It's always been the Holy Ghost that has worked in me. And it is not mine. It is His. You know, when you go through something like that, you have a little different appreciation for the things of God. A little different affect for what God is doing. But I believe today it's time that we begin to say, Lord, what is it in me that's gone dormant? What's asleep? What is it that's asleep? Gifts? Maybe you've been just kind of lax in a gift. Talents. I had a man tell me one time, well, the Lord took the talent from me of playing the guitar. I said, no, brother, you did that to yourself. It's been a year since you played the guitar. But God gets blamed for a lot of stuff, doesn't he? We have to realize it's time today. Get those things. Just begin to pray and ask God, what is it that's asleep in me? What is it that's kind of gone dormant or even relaxed? But I believe it's time. Amen? Thank you, Jesus.